You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the Political Cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, another stellar night, and TPC continues. Mark Weber in the first hour, Brad Griffin in the second, Paul Fromm, we're waiting on him. He'll be here any moment. And he's here now. Our favorite Canadian free speech activist is going to close our show tonight, for the most part, for all intents and purposes, with commentary on the firing of Canadian sports icon Don Cherry, who had the audacity to ask his viewers to honor veterans on Remembrance Day. So that's a day in Canada where I believe, and Paul can correct me, we're going to do a decently deep dive into this. I believe Remembrance Day is specifically to honor the veterans of the First World War, or is it all Canadian veterans, Paul?
No, it's to honor all veterans. But the day in Canada, our Remembrance Day, is, I believe, the same day as your Veterans Day, and it's November the 11th, and that and it was recognized, I believe, in 1921. And November the 11th was, of course, the day of the armistice that ended the First World War, the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918. So we've been commemorating that ever since. But it's remembrance for all veterans, not from all wars, not just the first one.
Okay. All right. Duly noted, and I appreciate you for clarifying. Now, there's one thing that I always have to mention before we get into something like this, and that is that I don't, and I'm sure you don't either, Paul, believe that just because, quote-unquote, our veterans did something, that it's sacrosanct, that it's inherently holy, and it's improper to revisit it in a historical context. I mean, listen, it doesn't take away, though, from the valor and the gallantry and the bravery to go into a war, whether it be the First World War or the Second World War or any war. There is bravery there that should be honored. Now, we, though, have a lot of Canadian listeners. I want to read this comment from one of them and get your reaction to this, Paul, before we get to exactly what Don Cherry, who Don Cherry is and what he did that caused him to get fired. But one of our Canadian listeners, when I made it known to him that you were going to be on tonight to talk about this, he wrote, "I have mixed feelings about the Don Cherry ordeal. I don't wear a poppy because the last time Canadian troops fought to defend the borders of Canada was the War of 1812. The only reason we were in World War I and World War II was because we were still part of the British Empire. Forget all this nonsense about freedom and democracy. Although I'm looking forward to hearing what Paul has to say. I do like Don Cherry. He was a bombastic commentator who has gotten into trouble before for sticking up for white Canadian hockey players. The poppy comes from the World War I poem In Flanders Fields. We had to memorize that poem when I was in school. Everyone is supposed to wear a poppy for Remembrance Day." Paul, your reaction to what our good friend and listener and supporter in Canada had to write and to preface this appearance by you.
Well, I would mostly agree with what he said. And like you, James, I make a distinction between honoring the courage of veterans, regardless of the war, and honoring the war. I would agree with your caller, or sorry, with your correspondent, that our participation in both those wars was a mistake. Now, I wouldn't agree necessarily that we were involved in the Second World War because we were part of the British Empire. We're actually part of the British Commonwealth. We were independent. But in both wars, we leaped to the defense of the mother country, in this case, Great Britain. Both wars were a colossal mistake. Genetically, if we are going to collapse as a people, as European people, it will be because of the horrible bloodletting of the First World War that damaged so much of our genetic heritage. Very many, many great people never bred, and we don't have the benefit of their offspring. Second World War, a colossal disaster. The only winners of the Second World War were not, Britain. Yay, we beat the Jerrys. No, the only winners were international communism, and if anything, the Second World War hastened the end of the British Empire. It didn't defend the empire, and you and I both realized that Adolf Hitler did not threaten, certainly didn't threaten Canada. We weren't about to be invaded, and didn't really threaten Britain. These were both bad wars for various reasons, but you still have to admire the courage of the men and some women who volunteered. Now, I've talked to a lot of people my parents' generation. About my parents, of course, have both passed on. But if you ask them, well, why did you folks go to war? They would mostly tell you that, well, they thought they were fighting for a freer world, a better world. So, and for many people, it was idealistic, and there was a famous World War II song by Vera Lynn, "We'll Meet Again, We'll Meet Again, Don't Know Where, Don't Know When." Anyway, there's a line further on in that, that "We'll Meet Again Someday When the World is Free." And I think that kind of summarized what most of my parents' generation felt. I mean, why they risked their lives, and many of their mates died. It was idealistic for many of them, and good idealism maybe in a bad cause. So that's why I honor the day, and I must admit I don't always wear the poppy either, because I too am somewhat ambivalent.
Well, Paul, this is very interesting commentary, and it all leads up to the point that we brought you on. Now, a lot of our listeners, if they overlook this story, I didn't even know. As a Southerner, as an American, I didn't know who Don Cherry was until this big international media incident happened. We have a minute or two before the next break. Very quickly, describe to the audience who may be for whom it may be unbeknownst, who Don Cherry was. He was really a national treasure in Canada. He's 85 years old, a national treasure, specifically with regards to his contributions to the national sport, hockey. Describe in just a minute or less who Don Cherry was, and then when we come back in the next segment, we'll tell everyone what he did and what happened to him. But who was Don Cherry?
Okay, Don Cherry was a former minor league hockey player and hockey coach. I think he coached for the Boston Bruins. But for the last 37 years, he's been he's provided what they call Coach's Corner commentary on the Hockey Night in Canada Saturday night hockey games. And he was a real personality and grew an awful lot of people to the game. He's very gruff, opinionated. He favored the old style of hockey, rough and tumble. Not opposed to dropping the gloves and having a punch out. But he's extremely popular as a character. I mean, he was a personality, including wearing outrageously colored jackets and ties. But he was also a man with a big heart. He was conservative, and he strongly supported the veterans, especially the wounded veterans. So he made quite a name for himself. He had a huge following.
Well, Paul, we'll pick it up with that. I think you painted a pretty good understanding of who he was. We'll come back and explain to everyone what he said. And you're talking about 85-year-old man. He's been around forever and in the public eye, but he said one thing this week in a 49-second clip that got him immediately terminated. What was it? We'll let you hear it from his own mouth when we come back.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Okay, back with our third and final guest of the evening. You've already heard from Mark Weber and Brad Griffin. Paul Fromm is the director of the Canadian Association for Free Expression and the director for the Canadian, the Canada First Immigration Reform Committee. Paul Fromm is our favorite Canadian free speech activist, and he is closing the show with us this evening to talk about the firing of Canadian sports icon Don Cherry, who, as I mentioned a moment ago, had the audacity to ask his viewers to honor veterans on Remembrance Day. So on Twitter, this was just a really big story this week. And one person on Twitter wrote, if a national treasurer can't get away with saying something that is certainly true and not be fired, what hope do the rest of us have? Now, before we go any further with Paul, let's listen to Don Cherry, the 49-second clip that ended his 85 years old, his many decades career in sports broadcasting. Here it is.
You know, I was talking to a veteran. I said, I'm not going to run the poppy thing anymore because what's the sense? I live in Mississauga. Nobody wears, very few people wear a poppy. Downtown Toronto, forget it, downtown Toronto, nobody wears a poppy. And I'm not going to, he says, wait a minute. How about running it for the people that buy them? Now, you go to small cities and the roads on roads. You people love you. They come here, whatever it is. You love our way of life. You love our milk and honey. At least you could pay a couple of bucks for poppies or something like that. These guys pay for your way of life that you enjoy in Canada. These guys paid the biggest price. Anyhow, I'm going to run it again for you great people and good Canadians that bought a poppy. I'm still going to run it anyhow.
Love you for it.
All right, so there he is, Don Cherry, saying, hey, listen, we're going to run this poppy promotion to show your pride for the veterans who, you know, in some shape, form, or fashion, fought for Canada. That got him fired, Paul, and that got him fired because, I mean, we know why, because the people in Toronto that he's talking about are this multicultural polyglot. I mean, they don't give two hoots in hell about the white people who died in wars, for Canada. It's amazing that, you know, and I know that this may not be a household name in America, but this was a fixture in Canadian sports iconography. And he's gone now for saying nothing more than you should buy a poppy and honor the veterans.
Don Cherry was immensely popular. As you know, James, the media has changed vastly in the last 30 years, particularly television. There used to be just the few major networks, but now we've got all sorts of cable choices and so on. So it's difficult to build up a large national audience, especially in a country like Canada that only has 38 million people. But Hockey Night in Canada would draw over 1.2 million people on a Saturday night, which is very substantial. And a lot of that was due to the personality and of Don Cherry. When you play that clip, what you heard is actually two different ideas sort of intertwined. He starts off by saying he was talking to a veteran in Mississauga, and I used to live in Mississauga City, just west of Toronto. And he said, hardly anybody wears a poppy anymore. And in Toronto, forget about it. Now, unsaid, but people who know the cities know this, Mississauga is over 50% non-white. Toronto, a little bit over. Now, of course, then he sort of segues from that to you people and saying you immigrants are, you like all the good things that Canada offers, the milk and honey, the freedoms, etc. Park with a few bucks and show some respect to the man who fought to preserve this. Well, of course, that just caused endless, just insane response. Because he happened to mention immigrants in a scolding manner. And it was pointed out, well, some immigrants from the third world wear the poppy, and that's quite true. And there are some people who are not immigrants who don't wear the poppy. That's quite true, too. But he was simply giving a bit of a civics lesson to some people who need it. Not all of them, of course. And you also have to appreciate that this is off-the-cuff commentary. This is not an academician's carefully reasoned, carefully statistically grounded academic paper. This is sports commentary, it's generalization. Everybody knows that. And the interesting thing was, nobody interrupted him. Nobody said to him between the second and third period last Saturday, Don, you may have got a bit overboard there. Maybe you should kind of correct things. Nobody said, he was in the studio for about an hour and a half after the show. Nobody on the staff, nobody in management said, Don, we should rethink this, or maybe you should try say something of it to explain it next week. No. And in fact, it wasn't until Sunday that some people in the Twitter sphere became unstuck, and then the criticism went viral. But the most shameful thing in all of this, as a Canadian, is to see the way he was betrayed. First of all, by Rogers, it's a big cable company which owns Sportsnet, which owns the program that he was on. And by Monday morning, they had dropped him and said that his comments were divisive. Well, James, you're a controversialist. You can't say anything critical of anybody without in some way being divisive. And who cares? I mean, that's what opinions are. Even more hurtful, the National Hockey League, the NHL, put out a statement denouncing him, saying, he no longer reflects our values. We stand for diversity and inclusion. And I thought, do you morons even understand what you just wrote? You stand for diversity and inclusion, but that doesn't include Don Cherry. And then,
well, as I like to put it, Paul, they stand for diversity. They stand for all kinds of diversity except for diversity of opinion. And, Paul, we have about 30 seconds left.
Oh, yeah, and then, most hurtful of all, the Royal Canadian Legion, the group for which he'd been fighting for veterans, also disowned him and denounced him because they stood for inclusion, too. But the leadership of our Legion is just so politically correct and disgusting. That's one reason I was not going to personally donate a cent to the poppy campaign this year because they're utterly anti-free speech. That's another issue, but they are.
Well, Paul, I mean, what final conclusions can we draw from this? Here is a very much beloved Canadian sports icon. He says, support the veterans, and he's fired for it.
Well,
it doesn't necessarily instill any sense of hope for the rest of us with regard to freedom of speech, at least from corporate America. Not that we had any illusions as to where we stood there.
There's an online petition that has garnered over 200,000 signatures already. My organization, along with others, held a protest outside of Rogers earlier today, demanding that they bring Don Cherry back. I think there is a chance that might happen. But it illustrates just how intolerant the cultural Marxists are, how fragile free speech is, and what utterly despicable traitors many of our big corporations are. They don't stand for our rights. And I have nothing but contempt for them. And you know, we're part of a war, and I tell people this. If you want to stand for traditional Canadian values, you better get into this war. Sign the petition, join a protest, and speak up.
Hey, all the news that is news from Canada, you can count on Paul Fromm delivering it here on TPC. We actually got a call from his union representative. Paul's been on four or five times since the summer. They said if we have him on anymore, we're going to have to give him per diem. Paul, hey, buddy, we love you. We'll keep you posted. And always, always, always great to have you on the show with us. Thank you for giving us the inside scoop on the John Cherry situation.
Merry Christmas and happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, I hope we'll talk to you again before then.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Massachusetts Senator and 2020 Democratic presidential candidate Senator Elizabeth Warren is campaigning in Waverly, Iowa, where she says the government needs to take on big corporations.
It is time for a president with the courage to enforce our antitrust laws and break these guys up. Yes, big ag, big tech, big banks. Enough!
President Trump will be visiting an Apple manufacturing plant in Austin, Texas next week. The White House says the president will tour the facility with Apple CEO Tim Cook on Wednesday. Apple reportedly scrapped plans to move production of its Mac Pro from Texas to China after the administration agreed to exempt computer parts from part of the new round of tariffs. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
On Saturday, 2020 Democratic presidential candidate Senator Elizabeth Warren held a town hall in Waverly, Iowa. The economy's good, there's plenty of optimism expressed for future, and the merchants are offering some good bargains, and it's time for Christmas shopping. USA Radio Network's John Clemens has a story.
The National Retail Federation reports the 5-day period from Thanksgiving Day to Cyber Monday is shaping up to be a record breaker. Catherine Cullen of the National Retail Federation has the predicted numbers.
More than 39 million are planning to start shopping on Thanksgiving Day itself, and we're expecting a great turnout, more than 114 million on Black Friday, followed by about 66.6 billion on Small Business Saturday, another $33 million on Sunday, and then wrapping up with over 68 million shoppers on Cyber Monday itself.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Was a cover of the old Dusty Springfield classic Son of a Preacher Man until Jack sent me his music recommendation today. That was by a singer unbeknownst to me by the name of Sarah Connor. And let me just tell you, folks, Sarah looks better than Dusty. Jack, how are you tonight?
I'm doing okay. And I didn't know about this cover song until last week, but I was just hunting around. And I like the version, but yeah, she's a pretty good-looking young woman.
It was better than Dusty, anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you like
it. But why did we bring it to the audience tonight? Yeah, tell us that.
Well, I like all kinds of good music. And I'm trying to do political things, but I just feel in a lot of places, and particularly when you don't have a lot of political options, it's better just to promote good art, good music, good books, good literature, plays, and things like that, and if you do that, other good things will follow. But you can just enjoy life a little bit. You don't have to get sunk down in this negativity, and you don't. It's just like living a healthy life. Don't eat bad junk food. Don't consume bad drugs, and you don't have to consume the terrible movies and television that are just put out there. Other people do, but if you look hard enough, and you have some teachers that can recommend some good music like we do on the political cesspool, you can find good music and you'll feel better about it, and things will work out in a better way. So that's why I recommended this song.
Hey, we don't know anything about bad movies and bad books and bad music, but we do know something about good radio. And, you know, Jack has been a little melancholy since he got back up to Chicago from our 15th anniversary. But I told Jack today, I said, Jack, listen, you know, I'm getting comments about you, man. You know, people are tuning in to hear you. We got to have you, you know, to close the show. And not only that, I mean, good-looking people, too. You know, we had this young mother down in the event a couple of weeks ago, and she said, you know, I can't believe I got to rub elbows with all of these big names like Jack Ryan. So, you know, we got
beautiful women at the anniversary, young mothers, cute-looking kids, and yeah, the photos were fantastic. And just everybody treated me great in Mississippi. I love the South. I've been trying to get away from these bitter, no-fun northern cities since I was like 7 years old.
Well, I know you said, Jack, you know, we wanted to just stick on recommendations because, you know, the whole crew, the regular crew, me, you, and Keith, we had the night off last week. We had to come back tonight or else Winston and Sam were going to overshadow us completely and just take over the whole thing, you know, so we had to fight for our spot back, but they did such a good job last week. But You said politics has just gotten you so down that you just wanted to talk about books and music and movies tonight. But
right.
And we will. I always like to ask, and I can barely keep myself from asking, you know, going in a behind enemy lines type of scenario and circumstance. You know, what's going on in Chicago tonight? You talk about the women, the bitter women. You like your women like well, you like your coffee,
it's
Jack.
City, it's beautiful, but the things that people do to get along. I mean, I have a friend. He's a little bit older than me. We're tennis partners and things like that. So the things he does to be social and things like that. This guy, before his business went down, spent $14,000 a year on season tickets to the Bulls game, the Chicago Bulls game. And he'd have
$14,000.
Oh. Right, and so
I don't think the Chicago Bulls have had a winning record since Jordan retired in the 90s.
But they go there, and then how does a middle-aged guy get an attractive date or meet people? And it's not based on your personality or that your knowledge of history or anything, or the fact that I'm a good partner dancer. These guys do stuff like that, spend $14,000 a year on season tickets to sports events or things like that. So those are things that everything's that are happening in the area. There's a big fight. It's kind of interesting in the old neighborhood I grew up in. I have long ties in it. This is the area where Barack Obama, he married a local girl, Michelle, and he moved here. He made it his base of his operations for his political ambition. He wasn't here for very long. And then he was an Illinois state representative. He was my neighbor, an Illinois state representative. He got shot up to be a U.S. senator for about a year and a half. And he got promoted and became president of the United States and shot with a lot of people that promoted him and things like that. But he's dined and dashed and they've left. So there's a big deal that ex-presidents are supposed to get presidential libraries, like LBJ has a presidential library in Austin, Texas, and Gerald Ford has one in Michigan. And so they were going to do a Obama presidential library in an area, something African-American and things like that. And he's got a very small entourage of really connected people, which I really don't like the real black racist wife of the Star Wars director, Lucas, Melody Hobsons. So what they ended up doing was grabbing an open, free lakefront park, which we have. It's one of the jewels of Chicago, our lakefront parks, and they're named after presidents, Lincoln Park, Grant Park, Washington Park. And so there's this park, my old neighborhood, Jackson Park, not named after Jesse Jackson, it's named after Andrew Jackson. So they grabbed a bunch of this free park, and they had a proposal to, they gave it to them for free, and then they're going to build a 25-story building there, and it came out that it wasn't any kind of a library. They weren't getting books. Instead, it's a presidential center. And so it's sort of, it's come in there, and there's been strong local opposition by park lovers, environmentalists. It's like, no, you don't steal a public park. You don't take a part of Central Park and build a 25-story high-rise temple with parking garages and things like that. So that's a big issue, and I give credit. There are principled liberal park lovers, environmentalists, and I'll do this. And the Obamas, they're taking some criticism because they're like Oprah Winfrey. They made their money here and fame, and then they just left. And so the Obamas live in a fancy neighborhood in Washington, D.C., and they just closed on a $15 million estate in Martha's Vineyard, where the demographics are the average annual income is $125,000, and the demographics is 95% white and 1.8% black. So they've dined and dashed, and they're taking some criticism, so I give them some credit. So that's things are happening. Otherwise, it's just life in the big city, and our shooting and murder totals are consistent, even though it's cold weather. It used to be our cold weather would really cut down on shooting and murders, but our criminals and thugs, they've adapted to the elements. They can rob and shoot and kill people in any season. So that's life in the big city.
they figured out jackets and winter weather gear.
Right, they do, but they don't travel as far. So they're shooting their neighbors and things. It's not like they're taking over public transport.
They just open up the window and shoot from the fireplace.
Yeah, they just kind of have their ones. That sort of happens. There was a teacher strike for a while. But anything bad you could see in a big city, we've got there. And then they've always, big cities have always had issues with immorality and things and homosexuals. But now the homosexuals and lesbians, they vote as a group power. So they got a U.S. senator and the new mayor is a black lesbian there. And so they
but now you voted for her because you said she was the lesser of two evils. That's what's going on in Chicago, folks.
They more kind. Yeah, they were. And just, I mean, again, and then that's, I keep recommending the same book, Dante's Inferno, that there's various regions.
What level of hell are you in Chicago, Jack?
I'm kind of, I'm in and out of the city. I've got, and it's beautiful. It's a great place to visit and tremendous architecture. And we got good museums. And so people are saying to these Obama people, why don't you build a museum instead of this temple where it's supposed to worship you? It's not yours. It's not a museum like Lincoln Center in New York City or the Kennedy Center of Performing Arts where it's a concert hall. It should be something instead of just some building. It's a community organizing training place. It's like a temple where people are supposed to worship you or something. So that's kind of the talk of the day. But before we go on, I've got a Shakespeare quote that I wanted to give. It's apropos of my situation. I wanted to test you and see if you can find out it is. Now is the winter of our discontent. Which Shakespeare play was that? And what's the reference to us now? Now is
our
discontent.
That's why you're the cultural correspondent, Jack. I'm just the good-looking face. But, you know, I'll tell you who would might know that tonight is Jared Taylor, who told me that he – we had asked Jared to come on. Jared's always on to talk about the Stephen Miller situation, and he said he couldn't come on tonight because he had tickets to Shakespeare. So we'll ask Jared that question, but I bet you're going to answer it for us first.
I'm going to give the answer. It's Richard III, and so he was a he's a bad guy character in Shakespeare, and I think his brother was made king, and he was deformed. I think he had a bad leg or something like that. So he's a villain. He's very ambitious and conniving. But it sort of sums up the situation now in the winter is that it's a winter of discontent, and I know a lot of people had so much hopes from what happened 4 years ago with the campaign, the election of Donald Trump, and there seemed to be all kinds of free speech where we could present our issues. Not just Trump, but other people, issues that we care about, immigration control, getting out of these endless neoconservative wars, the violence in our cities and things like that. And now that's all been taken away from us. We're losing our freedom of speech. They have the most ridiculous persecution of President Trump since the Watergate persecution of Nixon. And just regular people are being persecuted, and we don't have the freedom to write each other or even to make a comment. If you make a negative comment of the horrible feminist remake of Ghostbusters, you'll lose all of your Facebook and Twitter accounts. I must have lost all of them. So I would say this is kind of our winter of discontent. And we're not going to have opportunity to present our issues in the presidential campaign like we did. And I think it's a mistake. Our people always think there is this great opportunity and the microphone's going to be given to us and we can talk about the Constitution and how the money supply was corrupted. And we're not going to have that freedom of speech.
Hold on right there, Jack. We got to take a quick break.
The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
You know, sometimes when Jack Ryan's on with us, we get so excited, we just obliterate those commercial breaks. We just run right into the wall. Sam actually told me earlier in the show tonight, if I treated stop signs like I did commercial breaks, I'd be dead already. And there's truth to that. But with Jack, it takes it really to the next level. So anyway, for those of you who recognize that we ran into the wall. We'll do a quick reset here. Jack Ryan, you know, we like talking to Jack. Always something interesting to say, and we like taking a sneak peek behind the curtains of what it's like on the mean streets of Chicago, the big city. Well, Jack mentioned a couple of things in the last segment. The presidential libraries, you know, I've only been to one presidential library in my whole life. Now, I would ask Jack which one it was. I will ask. I know our regular listeners are going to get this. It's easy, easy, easy answer. But, Jack, I have been to one presidential library in my whole life. Which president was it?
I don't know, but does Andrew Jackson have a presidential library?
Wow. You know what? I may take that back. Maybe perhaps I've been to two. I don't know if you would call it a presidential library, but I've certainly been to the Hermitage. I've been to the Hermitage,
sure,
with Pat Buchanan, which was Andrew Jackson.
It was after Hoover. That Hoover came into it. Nixon Library in California. Johnson Library. Joe Ford. No.
I don't know if Polk has. Do they all have libraries? No, that's a good question. They all have
I
one.
Think it's after
I mean, you
Hoover,
can go back to Washington, Jefferson, maybe, you know, of course, but, no, you know, obviously.
I think Hoover was the first one to get one. I would say.
Okay, so maybe they don't all have. I certainly haven't been to the Clinton one. I don't know if James K. Polk has one. I wouldn't go to that one. Well, no, you know, so I have been to the Hermitage, but I don't think there's an actual presidential library there. It's his home.
How about George?
No, but no.
Bush, library. Yeah, what?
No, I certainly haven't gone to that.
Run but, by no, the Curious George to Washington.
No, I think everybody. I think a lot of listeners will have already gotten this. Jefferson Davis. The Jefferson Davis Presidential Library in Biloxi, Mississippi, the Beauvoir home and Presidential Library. So I have been to that one. Anyway, so that is the Presidential Library that I will proudly say that I have. And there is actually a library there. I have sat there. There are books and shelves, and it is a real library. And his home and his grounds and his estate. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. I've been there a few times. Anyway, you know, but Jack, with regard to the bitter and murky women, I said, you know, you like your women like you like your coffee, bitter and murky. But no, you don't. You like fun, vivacious, happy, beautiful women. And I think, you know, what you have to do instead of leading with the partner dancing as your best foot forward, you got to say, listen. I am a big name on a nationally syndicated talk radio program. Now, if you want to live dangerously, take my hand. You know, that.
Well,
I think is your
I've
take.
Got this young Ukrainian housekeeper that is, we like each other a lot. And she does something that no college miseducated Anglo Northern woman has ever done. And she does something nice for me, like clean my place. I've never had these women that went to college or law school make me a sandwich or do a load of laundry. They're not traditional. I'm not a hater, but I got to be honest. I really just do not like these Northern Hillary women. And, I don't know, am I allowed to use the V word on radio or not?
Well, you know, I think
well,
we know what you're getting at.
I'll just say it's the V word, but you see these terrible feminist women marching on the presidential mall dressed up as
we were there. Hey, listen,
wow,
listen.
That's not good.
Yours truly, Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, Sean Bergen. We were all there for that female cat hat walk.
Horrible.
The thing that they had the day after the inauguration in 2017. Horrible. We were there. We saw them. And in fact, as Sam is my witness, we were there in the lobby of a hotel in suburban D.C., just on the outskirts of D.C. And there were a lot of those people there at our hotel, and we saw them in the lobby wearing their hats immediately after their little march. And listen, I'm glad they're wearing it on their head because nobody would want the real thing, not the way these women looked.
They are not. But I can say is that their women don't use their V's, and our women do. And you saw these beautiful women with beautiful children at the conference, and you know, our gals use our V's, and we do. We, you know, great things are happening, so.
We use them in the way God intended, right? I mean,
that's,
you know, that's what you're getting at. So
things work great. Beautiful women.
We have
beautiful children, well-behaved, charming. These are the kind of women that are like all the best.
There is a way to put your personal endowments and your, you know, God-given organs to good use,
right.
and our healthy audience, we know how to do that.
Right.
So, but anyway, Jack, listen, we've gone through more than half of your appearance, and we've only done one recommendation, and that was Sarah Connor's
sure.
cover of Dusty Springfield's Son of a Preacher Man. I know you said we wanted to spend the bulk of the time tonight just recommending books and movies. And we haven't done it at all. So let's get to it.
Well, my books have both a black American theme. The movie is Carmen Jones, starring Dorothy Dandridge and Harry Belafonte. And it's an adaptation of the French opera Carmen, which is about a Spanish bullfighter and this vivacious woman that comes in and causes troubles. And the story is like West Side Story updated the Romeo and Juliet. And so the story is about a black American serviceman. He's prepared around World War II. He was about to get married to this nice Christian black woman. It's all black. It's segregation. And there's no bad politics. And then this vivacious woman comes in and just really likes this guy and goes for her. And then this heavyweight boxing, I don't know if he's a champion or a contender, takes an eye for Carmen, and they take a train to Chicago, into the all-black area of West Side of Chicago, and they use the music from Carmen, and it's just tremendous. It's fantastic, and the leads of Harry Belafonte and Dorothy Dandridge is just very well cast. They're highly, highly recommended. Now, the book I'm going to recommend is called Destined to Witness by Hans Massacoit. It's an incredible story about this half-black child in Germany, that he's the son of a big shot, the son of the Liberian consular general, that had an affair with a white German nurse. We wish these things didn't happen, but they did. And he was originally being raised in a fancy home with servants and stuff, and the guy said he would marry the mom, and he didn't. And then the mom got tired of it, and so she said, I'm going to go off and get a job as a nurse and raise this child. And she raised the child in the 20s, and it's just his observations about life in Germany, in Hamburg, Germany. And you just see how regular people are and how regular good German people are, just like you would, we're always demonizing them like we demonize the South. He had an incredible life, and he considered himself German. He lived through the bombings of Hamburg and like, and then eventually he came over to the United States with his mom, and he joined the military and ended up being a writer and a editor for Ebony magazine. And I just knew, I went to school with the son of Hans Massacoit, and there was this guy, this black guy with a German name. You didn't see that many guys. Real nice guy, positive. And then I just found the story, and it's just amazing. It's very honest, and you just see how life from a honest 9 and 10 year old, and just see how just good and decent the German people were. So I highly recommend both those movies and that book.
All right, well, what else do you got for us, Jack, with 3 minutes to go on the show tonight? We've had an unusual month of broadcasting. The regular crew had the week off last week. 2 weeks ago, it was the after conference review show. 3 weeks ago, it was the conference program itself, and so it's been a while since we've been on a regular schedule. So, I mean, surely you've got a logjam there.
Well, I think it's time to kind of hunker down and to find, whether it's in religion, church, or movies or books, classical great things, because I just feel this next year is just going to be, I was trying to get out of the country, to be honest with you, and I still am going to try to get out.
Going to try to make it after Christmas? You're going to get out of here for a little while anyway?
Well, I like to travel. I got an opportunity to go to a Christmas party in New York City with some famous people. I'm not allowed to talk about it. But I was going to go to South America, the most stable country, to do a Spanish immersion course. But then some leftists that caused trouble around the world, they did a protest at a train station in Chile, and ended up they burnt 20 train stations. The military had to be called out. And I talked to people and said, well, yeah, we were surprised about it. We haven't had a coup or a civil war in 40 years, but we just might get one. So they're at least when they have riots of communists and things in San Diego, Chile, the military will come out. Or Chicago, the communists just go in and then they parade around and no one confronts them. Just me. And then I got a chance. I haven't traveled internationally except for some resorts in about 25 years. So I'm eager to go and look around. We have a strong dollar, so you can travel to Southern Africa, Botswana, Namibia, South Africa. Things are rough in a lot of places, South Africa, but there's still nice places, and your dollar gives there. So I want to get away from, I hate the presidential election here. Just every day is the same ones, and I got to listen to this propaganda, and it's just, it's annoying. So do sports, watch great movies, read good books, try to get clubs. But you're not, I would almost say to our listeners, if the media wants to come and ask your opinion about election, I would just treat them like the BATF and say, I have nothing to say, because they're just going to try to get you in trouble. They're going to try to look at your hard drive, and they're just going to try to say, oh, look, you know, Trump supporters are terrible, race, neo-Confederate racists and all this thing. So I would just say, avoid it.
All right, we'll keep tabs on you, Jack. Each week we'll find out the travels of where in the world is Jack Ryan? We'll find out. Thank you for being with us tonight. For Brad Griffin, for Paul Fromm, Mark Weber, Keith Alexander, yours truly, James Edwards. Good night. We'll see you next week. Great to be back in action and back to routine, which is a fantastic thing for us. Good night, everybody.